1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 onwards, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven and with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words." And, you know, the thing that we see here is that the church was grieving, that they had lost people. And they didn't know what to do with it, but Paul comes to them and the first thing that he says is, he doesn't sort of say, stop grieving. He doesn't say, don't grieve for them, but actually he says, as you're grieving, don't grieve like people who have no hope. Don't grieve like those people that don't know where their eternal future is. Don't grieve like those who have no more hope. But remember that in our grieving, we grieve with that hope, with that sure hope that one day we will see Norman again. One day, unless the Lord returns, we will follow that same path, that there will come a time when we pass from this life into eternity, when we will walk that road. But it's a road that's marked with hope. That's a sure and a firm foundation that we stand on. And yes, we will miss Norman. And yes, he will leave that gap. And yes, we should, you know, remember who he was and what he meant to all of us. But underpinning all of that, underpinning that sadness, is still that sort of that river of hope that flows through each one of us. That gives us that sense of, yes, he's gone, but it's not forever, that we will see him again. And it's encouraging, isn't it, to know that Jesus knew what it was to grieve. You know, that shortest verse in the Bible says that when his friend Lazarus died, that Jesus wept. He knew grief. We're told that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So he knew what that was like. But, you know, as we gather around our communion table this morning and we look at the cross and as we remember what Jesus has done for us, that in that grief and in that sorrow, through all of that came hope. Came hope for us and for our eternity. And when we have given our lives to Jesus, when we have his spirit dwelling in us, that even in these times of sadness, there is hope. And it's not just maybe it will, or it's real, genuine, certain hope. Paul, when he writes, you know, in a lot of places, he often talks of hope. In Romans chapter 5, and the first few verses of that, he says this, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." That's what we're looking forward to. Confidently, joyfully looking forward to sharing God's glory. "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment." How encouraging is that? This hope will not lead to disappointment. "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love." our confident hope of salvation. We can be confident in what God has said to us. So what's that hope based on? It's based on the fact that Jesus didn't only die as a sacrifice for our sin, but he rose from the dead. It didn't end at the cross. Resurrection came, and because of that, it reversed the effects of what happened on the cross. Jesus died, and his disciples saw that, and he took our sin, but in resurrection came victory. And that means that God has got power over sin and death. Satan thinks that he has, but he hasn't. We looked last week, didn't we, about how Satan goes around like a roaring lion, and we said he's like a lion. It's a counterfeit. He's not. We have the lion of Judah. We sang in that song, the lion and the lamb, that he's on our side, and he is the one who is victorious. Satan just makes a big noise sometimes. So sin and death were defeated on the cross, and because he rose from the dead, those of us who die knowing him will rise with him. That we will, when Jesus comes again, we'll be resurrected. And these verses are just so encouraging. Let's look at verse 14 again. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So sorrow lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sorrow lasts for a period of time, but we're told that joy will follow that. And we need to hold on to that in our sadness, to know that joy will come. The joy from knowing where Norman is, where we will be, knowing what Jesus has done for us. The important thing is to know that God is in control. Knowing that he can change our circumstances, and he can change how we see life and our difficulties. Sometimes our situations don't change. Sometimes we pray and things aren't taken away from us. But what he can do is change how we see those situations and how we see what happens. This is what God has done for us. He's given us life. He's put us on the earth. And he's the one that will receive us back when we leave this earth. So this is the God who broke into history and who brought salvation to the world. He's shown us his love through Jesus. He's the one who can break down the walls. You know, we've heard about what's going on in the church, but God is able to break down walls. God is able to bring reconciliation. God is able to do those things. Sometimes it seems so overwhelming, but we need to remember that our God is greater. Our God is stronger. So he can break down walls that separate people, and he forgives our sins, doesn't he? And he gives us the hope that we will be with him eternally. We might have to walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, whether that's our own journey or whether that's walking that with someone else. We know that those times will come, but we are promised that God walks with us through that, and he will bring us through. Sometimes we can lose a loved one and life might seem hopeless and we wonder how we're going to carry on. But we, the people of God, we live with hope. And that influences us right to the very core of who we are. And it's not a time to give up or to give in. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, because of Jesus' resurrection, death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up. We have victory. God gives hope. And because of that, we've got life, a life that has meaning and direction. And then there's one other thing that we need to consider, and that's in the last verse of the paragraph that we read, of the passage that we read. And it says this, verse 18, so encourage each other with these words. You know, we're all together this morning. We're going to be breaking bread together. God has put us together as a family. And we are here to support and encourage each other. And to bring words of comfort to each other. You know, however we're feeling this morning, that we, as the body of Christ, are able to minister to each other. And that is what God wants. That's what being a part of a church and a family is all about. That at times like this, we stick together, we encourage each other. When perhaps one's feeling sad or whatever, that we bring those words of comfort to each other, because, you know, we can comfort those with the comfort that we have experienced ourselves. So let's do that. We know when we talk about Norman, let's talk about him. Let's encourage each other. Let's remember those times that, you know, he just brought joy and happiness to us, and that smile on his face and the way that he greeted us at the door. You know, those are the things that bring us comfort. And knowing that, you know, he was a man who had, in some ways, I suppose you'd describe it as a simple faith, but actually I think quite a profound faith. Because for Norman, if that's what God said, that's what God meant. And he lived his life knowing those things. You know, he would say he wasn't a theologian, and sometimes in home group with him, some of the things he came out with, we'd sort of be looking at each other and wondering quite where that came from. But actually, when you spent any time with him, you knew that he loved the Lord, and he knew that he was loved as well. And so he was able to bring that. And so he's not here to do that this morning, but we can carry on those things, what we have learnt from him about, you know, how to be welcoming, how to be kind, how to be generous. That's who he was. You know, and the other thing that Norman loved to do, given any opportunity, was to tell you how he came to know the Lord when he went to Australia. Anyone not heard that story? I'm sure there are, you know. You have, we could tell you afterwards. But Norman's testimony was that he had to go to Australia to be with his friend, and that's where he said God found him. God found him in Australia, and he came to know the Lord. And every opportunity that he had, if he met people and he wanted to tell them, you know, he would tell his testimony. He knew how to tell people what God had done for him. And I think it would honour him most if we learnt to do that as well, to tell our experience of God. And, you know, he did that in such a wonderful way that, you know, I would just really encourage you to do that. You know, his physical body failed. Those of us that visited in those last few days know that, you know, he was in pain until his 80th birthday, when they seemed to have got his pain med sorted out. I don't know where he was, where his headspace was, but he was happy. And, you know, he was seeing things. But actually, he was joyful, wasn't he, on that birthday. And that was what he'd wanted. He'd wanted to get to his 80th birthday. And the fact that he reached his little milestone is something that we can say to God, you know, thank you, God. We had his 80th year celebration because we didn't think he was going to make it, and he did. And, you know, it's sad that he didn't make it back into care, Gwent, but do you know what? I believe that God knows every day that he's given to us. He knows, and, you know, Satan is not allowed to rob us of the days that God has ordained for us. You know, Norman has gone to be with the Lord. I think those of you that saw the email from Wendy will know that his prayer was, Lord, I'd love another year to work for you. But if I can't, I'll come up there and work up there. You know, what a prayer and what an attitude for someone. You know, these are the things that we'll remember. Norman loved God, and I know God loved Norman. And he lived that out. So we're going to be coming and taking communion. And as we do that, I want us just to think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. That sin and death is defeated. Jesus rose again. And in that comes all the hope and all the promise with that. So we're just going to take a moment. I've asked Nigel if he can play a song, which I'll just get you to do in a moment. But, you know, as we listen to this song, let's recognise that hope comes from God, and his comfort will abound because of the way that we in this congregation care for each other. We can be comforted because we have each other and we know that we are loved. And these emblems remind us of that hope and the price that Jesus paid for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lord, this morning we thank you that we do stand forgiven at the cross. Lord, that when we give our lives to you, that you take that sin, that sickness, that death, that disease, and it's all nailed to the cross. And Lord, thank you that you forgive us, that when we turn to you, when we ask you to come and live in our lives and change us, that Lord, you do just that. So Lord, as we take this bread, we take it with great thanks and humble hearts, Lord, as we remember what you have done for us. And Lord, as we take this bread, we pray that you would just remind us of all that you've done for us. And Lord, we take it with grateful and thankful hearts. Amen. Okay, so as we pass round the bread and the cups, as we take it, then take the opportunity to pray for the person next to you or near to you. Those of you that don't know, Anne is off to India on Sunday, and Jan is off on Saturday, and I know that they would really appreciate your prayers as they travel. So, you know, as we do that, as you know of needs that are here, pray for people, encourage people. Have you got something you can maybe just play that song again quietly? Thank you. Took the blame, bore the wrath.
just as we're praying and we'll just get ready to sing our final song, Lord, we just pray for Anne as she goes to India with the team and for the pastors' conference there. Lord, we ask that for Chris and Trish and Graham and Anne as they travel, that you would watch over them. And Lord, may that conference be a wonderful time for the pastors that are attending. Lord, again, something that Norman had a real heart for, and his great joy was being able to pay for one of a pastor to go to that conference. So Lord, we ask a special blessing on that conference this time as they go. And Lord, for Jan and Colin as they travel to India on their holiday, Lord, would you watch over them, Lord, that you would just give them a fantastic time, that you would just keep any danger away from them, Lord, that this would be a time of refreshing and just an opportunity to just enjoy being together for that period of time. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, thank you that you've drawn us together as a family. Thank you that we are not alone, that we stand together, and that, Lord, you are the tie that binds us all together. Lord, it's your spirit that flows through each one of us. And Lord, we thank you that you have drawn us together in this place. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege that we have had in having Norman in our lives, of knowing him. Thank you for all that he has brought to us. And Lord, we pray that we will honour him in the way that we live, the way that we talk about our faith, the way that we welcome and we respond to each other. Lord, may that be his legacy to us as a church, Lord, that we look at his example, and Lord, we just say, yeah, we saw you in him. Lord, thank you for him. Amen.